morning, Victory Faith. Thank you so much for being here today. We are so glad that you're taking this time to join us on a Sunday morning. Pastor Kyle and I, unfortunately, have to be out of town this week, so we won't be able to be part of this last sermon in our Blessed Life series, but we also believe in modeling to you what it means to take breaks, go on vacation, and spend time focusing on your marriage. Some of you know our ministry coach is Pastors Kyle and Bethany from Indiana. They have made it possible for us to attend, largely on their dime, a marriage conference this weekend. And so we're taking some time to pour into our marriage so that we can continue to pour into you guys as your pastors. And we want to make sure that we model God first, then your family, then your ministry, and the work that you do in this world. But thank you so much for being here this Sunday, and we're excited for a great Sunday, and we know that you are in capable hands with so many of our dream teamers and people on our staff team who are here to make it a great Sunday experience for you as you worship God and love on His people around you. I just want to welcome those of you who are here for the first time. If you're first-time guests with us, thank you so much for being here. Our Victory Faith family knows to give a warm round of applause to welcome you right now. So go ahead and do that, team. We are so thankful that you chose to join us. In your worship guide you were given as you came in today, there is a long yellow card that says welcome home on it. That's a connection card. If you wouldn't mind filling that out just with the information you're comfortable with and turning it in at the hub on your way out this morning, that's a way for us to be connected with you and to help you if there are any next steps that you have or questions you have or prayer requests that you might write on that card. That's a way for us to be connected with you. And just as a thank you from us, if you turn that in today, we want to give you a gift thanking you so much for joining us. There's a gift card, there's some other things in there for you, and we just want to bless you with that to thank you for being part of this today. Well, like I mentioned earlier, we're wrapping up our Blessed Life series this morning, and then this last installment of the series, we're really looking forward to what God has to kind of seal this series together. I've been hearing from so many of you about how this sermon series has been a life changer. It's helping you realize what's been missing in your finances and in your spirituality. And it's amazing to see how God is working in our lives through this. Remember, the purpose of tithing and giving isn't just about money. We don't give to get. We give to be blessed and to be a blessing. It's about opening ourselves up to be blessed on a wider scale. And when we give, it changes our perspective. We start to see God as our provider in a more realistic way. When trials come, as they inevitably do, we can face them with the confidence that God is with us, providing for our needs. But you know what? God isn't finished with us yet. So let's open our hearts even wider and let's be ready to receive from the Lord. Now let's prepare our hearts for the message ahead. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you're in this place today. Thank you that you're here with us with a message for us. And I pray that our hearts would be open to seal up and receive what you have for us to close out this series together. Continue the work that you've begun, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Hey everyone, how are you? Good to see you. So this is the last week of the Blessed Life series, and as we've done every week, I want to welcome the churches that are joining us right now. So can we welcome the churches, all over the country that are joining us right now for this series? And I want to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. This is the funniest message in the series, just so you know. You're going to have a good time in church today, and that is allowed to laugh in church. It's allowed. So turn to Luke chapter 9. And let me just let you know a little bit as I go before I get in this the scripture. I'm a math person. I've told you that before. I think in numbers. And people ask me, like, are you for this? Do you want to do this? Do you want to expand Pastor Robert in this way? Or Debbie will ask me about maybe remodeling something. So, okay, she knows this by now. My team knows this by now. Until you say a number, I don't know if I'm for it or not. I can be for it philosophically, but I may not be for it because you might be thinking a completely different number than I'm thinking. And I've even shared with Debbie, I can't hear the words that are coming out of your mouth until I hear a number. It's like listening, some of you, this might age you, but it's like listening to Charlie Brown's parents. What I hear is, what, $4,000. I heard that. I heard $4,000. That's what I heard. And that's okay. I can decide how long will that take me to fulfill the what. But I have to have a number. Okay. In the same way, the title of this message is The Principles of Multiplication. Multiplication is a mathematical term, like addition or subtraction or division. But multiplication is better than addition when it comes to our resources. And our God is a God of multiplication. He is a God who can multiply. So let me ask you a question, okay? And you can answer me out loud at all the campuses and all the other churches. Would it be all right with you if God multiplied your resources? Yes. Would that be all right? Okay, let me show you the two principles of multiplication from a very famous passage. Luke chapter 9, verse 12. It says, when the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, should the send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, well, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. Now, let me stop just for a moment, because many, many people believe that Jesus fed 5,000 people. But that is not the case. Though in Jewish culture at that time, the way they counted crowds is they only counted the men, because they were counting families. So when it says there were 5,000 men, if you include the spouses and the children, and assuming that just each family had just 2 children, which per capita at that time it was 4 to 5. But let's just say there were only 2 children. That'd be husband, wife, 2 children. That's 4 times 5,000. That's 20,000. This is a much larger miracle. Now, let me just so you know, the Bible backs this up. Stay in Luke 9. But the parallel passage of this scripture in Matthew 14, verse 21 says, now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So you can refer to the feeding of the 5,000. That's fine. As long as you know in your mind, it's 5,000 families, not 5,000 people. So this, with 5 loaves and 2 fish, I would say that our God is a God of multiplication. Okay? Go back to verse 14. There were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciple, make them sit down in groups of 50. I just want to comment here that Jesus is also a math person. And they did so and made them all sit down. And then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Now, again, because numbers jump out at me, I think, well, why were there 12 baskets? And there are some reasons theologically, because of the region they were in was called the region of 12 and things like that. But one reason could have been that Jesus wanted each disciple to have a doggy bag. I mean, I'm just saying, all right? 12 baskets left over, right? Now, here's what I like to do. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I like to put myself in a Bible story. Have you ever done this? And imagine how would I have responded had I been there that day. So I want you to do that today. That's what we're going to do today, all right? I want you to imagine you're one of the 12, all right? And you're on the Messiah search committee. And you've got a great candidate. He's healing the sick and raising the dead and walking on water, which is like a bonus messianic sign. It was not prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus like threw it in as a bonus. And so you have a high attendance weekend, okay? And so everyone sends out a mass email and you tweet about it, and you have the largest crowd you've ever had. Most theologians believe this is the largest crowd that with whom Jesus ever spoke. Most theologians believe that. All these people, 20, 25,000 people. I mean, it's phenomenal, all right? And so you have real good worship, and let's say it's a Sunday morning service, and then you turn it over to the guest Messiah to speak, and he gets up, and at 12 noon, he should be, you know, wrapping up. That's the time of service should end if it begins at, you know, 10:45 or 11, so it ought to be wrapping up by that time, but he keeps going. 1 o'clock, he's still going. 2 o'clock, he's still going. I mean, if this is during football season, you've already missed the first game. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Okay, listen, I am not exaggerating the text. Look at verse 12. It says, when the day began to wear away. You know what that means in the Greek? In the Greek, that means when the day began to wear away. So this is just my holy imagination. I think the disciples formed a little committee. And I think they said, what are we going to do? I mean, this is good, but this guy, he won't shut up. I mean, he's going all day. We've not had a lunch break, snack break, anything. And I'll tell you what, if I don't eat soon, I'm going to die. I'm right here. I'm going to die right here. I promise I will die if I don't get something to eat soon. And I think one of them probably said, you know what, that's it. And they said, what's it? Let's tell Jesus that the people are hungry. He seems to care a lot about the people. He doesn't seem to care much about us, but he does seem to care a lot about the people. So now let's pretend that you get elected the spokesperson, all right? So I want you to see this in your mind. Jesus is up there. He's speaking. He's teaching thousands of people, and you approach him while he's speaking. That is the inference from Scripture. Is that he was still speaking when they went up to talk to him, all right? So, see it in your mind, all right? So you say, Lord, hey, Lord, excuse me. Excuse me, Lord. Excuse me! Boy, this has been good today. I tell you, this is really good. This series of messages that you're bringing all in one day. We were talking, and we feel like that the people are getting hungry. Now, I could go all night. I was just saying to the guys, I said, John, I could go all night. I tell you, this is so good. We feel like the people are getting hungry, and it's getting late, and the restaurants are just about to close, Lord. So we feel like that it would be better if you would just... wrap it up. And the Lord says, you're concerned about the people. Yes, Lord, it's all about the people. And then, maybe you've never seen this, but I want you to pretend you're that disciple. Look what he says then in verse 13. So he said to them, well, then you give them something to eat. Excuse me. Yeah. You and your little group over there, you're concerned about the people. Why don't you give them something to eat? Okay. It didn't go like you planned, did it? But now you have to report back to the committee. See, that's the hard part, always reporting back to the committee. So you go back over and they say, well, did you tell them the people were hungry? Yes, I did. I used those words exactly. I said the people are hungry. So is he going to dismiss the service? Well, what did he say? He said for us to give them something to eat. What? What did he say? He said for us to give them something to eat. What? Oh, look, this is a disaster. Just wait till the first church of the Pharisees hears about this. And then there's some little kid that snuck back into town, and he's walking by, and he's got a Long John Silver sack. And so, you know, they just kind of grab the sack and they open it up. He got the 2-piece meal with extra rolls. And you can imagine Peter, you know, Peter probably just grabbed one of the rolls and just, and they said, stop it, Peter, stop it. That's all we have, that's all we have. And then one of them said, that's it. I said, what's it? Let's tell Jesus, this is all we have. and he'll dismiss the service. Now, I want you to think with me just for a moment. Think about this. If you had never read this story in the Bible, and you had 20,000 people and a two-piece meal, and you said, "This is all we have," don't you think he would have dismissed the service? Doesn't that make sense? Does it? Yes or no? Does that make sense? Listen to me. Tithing doesn't make sense. Doing it God's way doesn't make sense. But it works. So, you're the spokesman, and so, you know, you say, "Lord, excuse me. Lord, just one more. A moment ago we were talking, and I was telling you how good this series is, you know, Lord. And you said for, us to, get the people something to eat. And we've been working on that. And but all we have, Lord, all we have two fish, and we have almost five rolls. Lord, Peter ate some. And... But that's all we have, Lord. So we're thinking we should just go with our original idea and just. And the Lord said, "Okay, let me get this straight. You have two pieces of fish and almost five rolls. I know how Peter is, and that's what you have, right?" "Yes, Lord. That's all we have." "Oh yeah. That'd be great. Have them sit down in groups of 50. Excuse me. Lord, I don't think I was clear. We don't have a lot of these snack packs, Lord. There was a kid walking by. Peter took it from him, Lord. I didn't take it from him." Yeah, that'd be great. Have them sit down in groups 50. So now they're getting all these people to sit down in groups 50. Now, I'm going to give you just a little bit of my personal opinion here. I think while they were getting them to sit down, I think one of them might have remembered a scripture from the Old Testament and gathered the guys together and said something like this: "Hey guys, I think I know what's going to happen. Do you remember in 2 Kings 4, Elisha fed 100 men with 20 loaves of bread? The bread multiplied and they even had some left over. That's in the Bible. And we have one greater than Elisha here." By the way, those 20 loaves of bread, it specifically tells us they were first fruits. In other words, God can multiply the tithe. So he said, I bet you when he prays over it, it's going to multiply right there in front of us. And that is actually what many Christians believe happened, that when Jesus prayed, it just multiplied. But that's not what happened. Now, here's what I can see happening. Peter probably just grabbed one, because I just kind of like Peter. He's kind of the forceful one, you know. He probably grabbed one and said, here, Lord, pray over mine first. Here, pray over mine first. Here, Lord, pray over mine first. Watch. Watch what happens when he prays. Or just watch. Pray over mine first. But look at what verse 16 says. He blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. Okay, so here's Peter saying, here, Lord, here, bless mine. And so Jesus takes this piece of bread from Peter, lifts it up to heaven and says, "Father, bless it," breaks it, and hands half of it back to Peter. Are you through praying? "Yes, Peter, it's blessed. Now go give it away. And you just watch what happens, because the Master's blessed it." "You want to pray some more?" "No, Peter." Now, I know the text doesn't say this, but the principle, think about the principle. Think about this. Jesus blessed it. Here's what he's thinking. "Peter, you don't understand. Once you bring it to me first, and I bless it, you watch what happens, because I've blessed it." Personally, though, I think Peter walked up to the first person and said something like this: "Take just a little piece." What would you have said? Take a little piece, a little piece. He's going down the road, you know, take a little piece, take a little piece. I said a little piece, you pig, what is wrong with you? You can't follow instructions or something. So okay, take a little piece. He gets down to the last guy. There's a crumb in his hands. Sweat from his brow down on his cheek. A little drop of sweat there. And right before the guy reaches to grab it, this crumb grows in Peter's hands. And Peter says, you can have more. Okay. Listen, the miracle did not happen in the master's hands. It happened in the disciples' hands. Once they gave the first to Jesus and he blessed it, and then they gave over and above away. So, two principles of multiplication, all right? They're real simple. Here's number one. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. And we've learned from this series, the way our finances are blessed, we've seen this over and over again, is we bring the first 10% to the house of God. Even Hebrews backs it up, New Testament, that Jesus himself receives and blesses our finances. So you have to give the first. See, I know some people who give a little here and give a little there, but they don't bring the first 10% to the house of God. Listen to me, their finances are not blessed and they will never multiply because only Jesus can bless them. Think about this. What if the disciples had given out the two fish and the five loaves before Jesus blessed it? I'm going to say that again because that's extremely important. What if they had just started giving it away and Jesus had not blessed it? Would it ever have multiplied? No. It's a blessing. It's the same way when you give a little here and a little there, but you don't bring the first 10% to the house of God. It does not have the blessing of Jesus on it. There's a couple in our church that when I shared this series one time, they had been giving 10%, but they'd been giving 5% to Gateway and 5% to a missions organization. And when I shared about the tithe, we do believe in giving missions organizations, but that's over and above the tithe. The tithe comes to the local church where you are. And so they said, we had the check written, we tore it up, and made the check out for the full 10% to the church. And here's what they said, that was on a Sunday. On a Monday, we had been waiting for a bonus that we were supposed to receive, been told we would receive it. We'd been waiting for months for this bonus. And on Monday, it was in the mail, and they wrote a letter that said, we feel so badly that this took so long for you to get this that we actually added some to it. And the amount that they added was the exact amount that they added the day before on their check. You will never convince me that was a coincidence. It's God saying, do it my way. So it has to be blessed before it can multiply. Here's principle number two. It has to be given away before it can multiply. It has to be given away before it can multiply. So the first principle refers to tithing, bringing the first 10% to the local church, and Jesus blesses it. But once he's blessed it, now you can give over and above. You can give an extra offering or to, for in our case, we call it Heart for the Kingdom. You can give offerings over and above to missions organizations, to things like this. Okay, but it has to be given away. Think about this. What if the disciples, after Jesus had blessed it, what if the disciples had eaten it? It never would have multiplied. Two fish, five rolls. What if Jesus blessed it and then they just ate it? It never would have multiplied. There are a lot of people who will tithe, but they don't give anything above. Here's the sad thing. It has the potential to multiply, but they just keep eating it. Okay, so let me tell you how this worked out in my own life and in Debbie's life. I got saved 9 months after Debbie and I were married. And a few months later, I heard my first message on tithing, and immediately we tithe, and God began to bless us. I went to Bible college, and then I was a traveling evangelist. So I did not work at any church. I didn't receive any salary from a church. At that time, I only received offerings or honorariums when I would travel and speak. And so I'm doing that for a living, and the Lord spoke to me one day in my quiet time, and he said, I want you to get your finances in order so I can bless them. Now, I want you to think about that. That's a very important impression that I received from the Lord. I want you to get your finances in order so I can bless them. God cannot bless things out of order. And we have a stewardship department that can help you get your finances in order. So I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? Back then, I didn't know what to do. And he told me three things. So I'm going to tell you the three things he told me. He said, number one, get out of debt. Now, this means different things to different people. Different people have different convictions, okay? For us, we could still have a mortgage, but we were not to borrow for depreciating items, only appreciating items, like a mortgage on a home. So we have a mortgage to this day, and we have had a mortgage, but we put it on a 15-year note. We do our best to pay it off each, okay? So I just want you to know, because when I say that, I don't want you to, I want you to let the Lord apply it to you how he applies it to you, okay? So number one, he said, get out of debt. So for us, the first thing that we need to do, we had this car that was too big for us. The payment was too big. And so we sold that car and we bought a car for cash, $750. That was all we could afford. So we bought a car for $750. But you got to hear me. We actually loved that car. I mean, we loved it because we were getting our finances in order. We loved that car. We prayed over it. We anointed it with oil about a quarter a week. And we drove that car. Okay, second thing the Lord said to me was don't manipulate. Don't manipulate. Now, I was in ministry, but a whole bunch of people manipulate for money. And God never blesses manipulation. Manipulation comes from a root word that means witchcraft. So you cannot manipulate. You can't drop hints and expect God to provide for you. And so for me, I said, well, Lord, how does that work out? He said, well, when someone asks you to come speak, they say, what are your financial requirements for coming? And you say, pay our expenses and give us an offering. And some of my friends would actually say, pay our expenses, give us an offering. And the offering has to be a minimum of. I never even said that. I just said, whatever, just pay our expenses and give us an offering. Here's what the Lord said to me. He said, from now on, you say, I have no financial requirements for coming. By the way, this was about 30 years ago, and I still do that to this day. I have no financial requirements coming. And the Lord said to me, I want to teach you who your provider is. That it's not how you arrange things, it's me. Now, again, other people, you can do things differently. Don't put this on you. Let the Lord speak to you what he wants you. So this guy calls me. I will never forget. First guy calls and says, Robert, can you come and speak? I said, yes, we worked out a date. He said, what are your financial requirements coming? I said, I have no financial requirements coming. And I remember he said, well, that's good because I don't even think we can pay your gas. Now, he didn't say pay your expenses. He said pay your gas. Let me tell you why that's important. We get in that $750 car. We start driving. It was to Oklahoma. We start driving to Oklahoma. I stopped to fill the car up with gas. I went in to pay for it, and the lady said to me, it's taken care of. I said, what do you mean it's taken care of? She said, because when you pulled in, God told me that I was to fill your car up with gas. And I went out and I got in the car and I said, Lord, I sure like doing it better your way than my way. And here's the third thing the Lord said to me, give. So he said, get out of debt, don't manipulate, give. Now, I have to tell you what happened. I said to the Lord, I do give, I tithe. Now, please don't get offended by this. This is just the impression that I got in my spirit when I said that. I said, Lord, I do give. I tithe. I felt like the Lord went, I mean, that really. I kind of felt like it was like, idiot. You know, I mean, that's what I felt. And I'm like, what do you mean? Lord, I do. I give 10%. He said, you don't give 10%. You return 10%. He said, the 10%'s mine. And when you read the language in the Bible, if you don't return it, then you've stolen it. That's the language. I can show it to you in Joshua and in Malachi. Robbed and stolen. Those are the two words God uses. He used it. So I said, well, Lord, what do you mean give? He said, I mean give over and above the tithe. That's when you give. And I asked him three very important questions. I said, well, Lord, how will I know when to give? How will I know where to give? And how will I know how much to give? Aren't those important questions? Listen to his very simple answer. Here's what he said. I'll tell you. My people hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And so I said, okay, Lord. So not long after that, I go to speak at a church. Now, you have to remember, the only salary that Debbie and I received was when I would go speak in the church and if they would give us an offering. And I said, you don't have to give us anything. So I go to speak for this church, and it's the only speaking engagement I have for the whole month. I only have one engagement that whole month, all right? And it's at a church with about 60 people in attendance. And I go and I speak at that church, and I said, I have no requirements coming. The pastor gets up afterwards. He tells the whole church that. He said, he has no financial requirements coming. I want us to give an offering, and I want us to give a good offering. So they count it, and then they bring a check to the pastor. And we're standing like right here at the front, and the pastor brings me this check. And he says, look at this. Look at this. He said, we've never given this much. And he was so excited to be able to do that. And I looked down at the amount, and the amount was the exact amount of our monthly budget. Exactly. And it had dollars and cents on it. And you have to remember, at that time, we also had an office and we had an employee, a person that helped me to set up meetings. Because some of the meetings I did were large meetings and were gathered churches together and things like that. And so I looked down and I remember thinking, this is my only meeting for the whole month. You told me not to ask for anything, and God, you are so faithful. And while I'm looking at that check and thinking how faithful God is, I kind of glance up and I look over the shoulder of this pastor that's talking to me. And I see at the back of the church a missionary that had just spoken right before I spoke, shared a report, and this voice said to me, give him the offering. And I remember exactly what I thought. I rebuke you, Satan. That's not God. That's not God. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. That is not God. I remember this. It's funny, I know, but I remember even saying, that's not you. That's not you. I know you. That's not you. You would not do that, God. And the Lord said, give him the offering, the whole offering, give him the offering. And I remember saying to the Lord, again, you just have to know that I talk to the Lord funny and he talks to me funny. I remember I said to the Lord, Lord, you're not thinking clearly. This is the exact amount of our budget. We have no other meetings this month. You know, I preached a good message and you got all pumped up and you want to give to a missionary now, Lord, but this is you provided this for us. And the Lord said, give him the offering, give him the offering. And then I remember the Lord said to me, I told you that I would tell you when to give and where to give and how much to give. And I'm telling you to give right now to that missionary the whole amount. And so the sanctuary was clearing out by now, and I endorsed the check when no one was looking, folded it in half, and I went to the missionary and said, I'm going to give you something, but don't look at it until after you leave, because it was a very large amount. And I said, don't ever tell anyone I did this, because I didn't want to manipulate in any way. I believe now I'm supposed to share these testimonies to help other people, but back then I didn't share any of these things that I was doing. So I gave him this offering, and he you know, said thank you. And then Debbie and I walked outside, and there were some couples standing in the parking lot. And one of the couples said, hey, we're going to go get some pizza. Do y'all want to go? And we said, yeah, you know, because we're broke, you know. And so, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, sure. We love going to pizza. So we go eat pizza with them, and there are six couples total. So Debbie and I and five other couples. The six guys sat on, if you see this in your mind, sat on one end of the table. The six girls sat on the other end of the table. Debbie's all the way at the end, on that end. I'm at this end, all right? These four guys started talking about something. They got in some conversation about football or something, you know. And then this guy across from me, that I had met one time before, just once. I just met him one time. He just leans across the table like this, you know, and so I kind of lean across. I don't know what he's going to say. And he said to me, how much was the love offering? Just like that. And again, because I'm a numbers person, I knew exactly what it was. And so I told him the number. And remember, it was an offering, not an honorarium. An honorarium is with zeros. It's a round amount, like $250 or $500 or something like that. This was an offering that had, you know, dollars and cents on it. So I told him how much it was. And then this guy says to me, where's the check? Like that. And I know you're supposed to tell the truth, but I got kind of flustered. I didn't know what to say, and I didn't know why this guy was questioning me. And so I just heard myself say, Debbie has it. And so he says to me, go get it. I want to see it. So I said, okay. So I get up and I walk down where Debbie is and I lean down to her and I said, how's your pizza? Is it good? Okay, good. You know, there's nothing else to say. There's no check. And so I go back, and again, I know you're supposed to tell the truth, but I don't know, why is this guy asking me this? Why is he questioning me? And I didn't want to say, in my heart, I didn't want to brag. I didn't want to say, we gave it to a missionary, and it's the only meeting we have this month. And I didn't want to say that. And so I just heard myself again. I said, it's in the car. And he said, it's not in the car. So I said, where is it? I mean, you know so much, pal. I started getting frustrated. Why is this guy grilling me like this? What's going on here? And this guy said to me, who, by the way, is now a member of our church and has verified this testimony. This guy said to me, you gave it away, didn't you? I said, yes. I said, how do you know that? I'd only met him one time before. I said, how do you know that? He said, because God told me. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a check that he had written before he came to the service that night. And I found out later, which I didn't even know, he didn't even attend that church. He just heard I was speaking and God told him, go give him this check. So he writes a check out before he comes. He holds this check out that's made out to our ministry and he holds it up like this. Now listen to me, before God in heaven, and this man has verified this, it was exactly 10 times the amount of the check that I'd just gotten right, down to the penny. Exactly. He said, here. And he's holding the top of it, and I reached out and I took the bottom of it, but he wouldn't let it go. And I realized he wants to tell me something. He wants to say something. I now know he wanted to impart something. You do know there's a gift of giving in the body of Christ. There's a gift of giving. That's a spiritual gift. So I'm holding the bottom. He's holding the top. He looked right across the top of the check, right into my eyes, and he said, God's about to teach you about giving so you can teach the body of Christ. And he let the check go. Here's what came into my mind when he let that check go. Here's what I thought. This is God's money. This is not my money. This is God's money. All of it from now on is God's money. By God's grace, I have had that thought with every check that I've received since then. And we've been very blessed financially because for some reason people buy the books that I write, and so we've been very, very blessed. I still don't know why, but we've been very blessed. We've been able to give a whole lot to the kingdom of God. But I thought, this is God's money. Do you know the first thing we did? We bought a single mother a car, and we still had the $750 car. We started paying people salaries that were out of work. We started giving 70% of our income to the Lord. We just started giving, and we never told anyone, and money started coming in from everywhere, and we just kept funneling it through to people. I remember a few years later, we had a van that we traveled in. It was a green van, and I remember the Lord told me to sell it, and we traveled all the time at that time. My son, who's my oldest son, Josh, some of you know him, when he was 3 years old, we were somewhere speaking, and someone actually said to him, where do you live? He said, in the van. So the Lord told me to sell the van for $12,000. I sold it. We went to the mission field right after that, and this missionary drove this old rickety van, and I said, why don't you get you a new van? He said, I'm about to. He said, God showed me last week a van that we're going to buy. I said, how much is it? Anyone want to take a guess? $12,000. And we bought that van. We've been living this way for years. Giving and giving and giving extravagantly. And it's verified. The elders of the church know it. Steve knows it. Steve is telling me I'm one of the highest givers in the church. That's not because of my salary. It's because of the outside income that the Lord's blessed me with. And I'm grateful for that. But let me wrap this up. Let me tell you what happened. A few years after this, I was having my quiet time. And the Lord just spoke to me one day. I was reading in Philippians about Jesus gave up everything. And the Lord said to me, would you give me everything? And when he said it, I knew what he meant. He meant everything in my personal checking account, everything in our, Debbie, mine, everything in our personal savings, everything in our ministry account and everything in our ministry savings, which would be like a business account. That was where our income came from. Everything in our retirement. At that time, we had two cars, both cars, and our house. And the way we did that, by the way, because we gave it to a pastor that had five children, and the church said the best way for you to do it would be to for the church to buy the house as a parsonage, and then you give the proceeds back to the church. And so that was what we did. And there's the man who did that, who oversaw that transaction, is also a member of our church now and can verify that we gave that to the church. So, and that was not Gateway. That was the church I was a member of a long time ago. So anyway, we gave everything away. So the next morning, I'm thinking about it, and I'm because I'm a math person, I'm adding it up in my mind. All these accounts, you know, the cars, the house, I'm adding it up, and the Lord said to me, "What are you doing?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "No, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I don't want to tell you what I'm doing." And you know, if you're thinking something, but you don't tell him what you're thinking, he doesn't know. He knows, just so you know, he knows. So I said, "Well, Lord," I said, I'm not having a real spiritual thought right now, so I don't want to tell you. He said, "Tell me what you're thinking." I said, "Well, you know that old saying, you can't outgive God." He said, "Yeah, I've heard that." I said, "Well," I said, "I don't mean this wrong, but I think I did." And when you add up everything that I gave, I said, "This time I think I've got you." I have no reason why I said that word. I said, I think I've got you like that. And the Lord said to me, "You think you've got me?" And when he said that, the phone rang. And I picked up the phone. By the way, the man on the other end of the phone is a member of our church now and has verified this story also. I picked up the phone and I said, "Hello?" And this guy said, "Robert, God told me to help you with your transportation." And I thought, he's going to buy us a car. But even if he buys us a car, we just gave away both cars. By the way, at that time, we'd given away nine cars. We've given away a lot more cars since then. And by the way, let me just brag on the Lord through you. Last year, you, Gateway Church, gave over 100 cars to people. So it's contagious, the spirit of giving. And so anyway, I was like, "Well, even if he buys a car, Lord, I still got you," because he gave away all our retirement and house, and I still got you. But thank you for the car, you know. And so I said, "Well, what did the Lord tell you to do?" That's what the guy said. "He told me to buy you an airplane." And he said, "I'm going to pay for the maintenance and the hangar and the insurance and the fuel. And I've hired a pilot and I'm going to pay his salary. Here's his name and number. And you just call him and tell him where you want to go and when you want to go." And the Lord said to me, "Gotcha. Gotcha." Now listen to me. This is not a message. Give and you get an airplane, okay? By the way, I want to clarify, he gave the use of the airplane to us, and we gave the use of it back to him about a year later, and we don't have an airplane today. I don't own an airplane. The church doesn't own an airplane. So this is not about an airplane, because that is not the best part of the testimony. Here's the best part of the testimony. A while after that, I was reading the most famous story about Solomon, and you know this story. What's the most famous story about Solomon? The most famous story about Solomon is that God said to Solomon, "Ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you." Can you imagine God saying that to you? Can you imagine that? So I'm reading that, and I thought it said at night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask anything you want." So I thought, and the Lord leads us when we're reading the Bible, I thought, I wonder what happened that day. What happened that day was he was inaugurated the king of Israel, and it was tradition for the king to sacrifice one bull when he was inaugurated. Do you know how many Solomon sacrificed? 1,000 bulls. 1,000. That's pretty extravagant. And I remember the Lord said to me that day, "I only say to extravagant givers, ask anything you want." He said, "I would never say that to a selfish person because I couldn't trust them, but I can trust givers." Now, I'm not even thinking about that Debbie and I had given away everything we had But right then, when the Lord said that to me, he said to me, ask. Ask anything you want. And I knew exactly what I wanted. I've been very honest with you, and you know this. I have an immoral past. I was immoral after Debbie and I were married. And I thought when she finds out, it's going to end our marriage. So I knew exactly what I wanted. I said, God, I want for Debbie and I to be passionately in love for the rest of our lives. And this May, we celebrate 35 years of marriage. That's better than an airplane. That's better than an airplane.
Amen. Isn't that encouraging? As we gather together today, I want to delve into something close to our hearts, and that's the act of giving. It's really something that's personal to all of us, no matter what we're giving, when, who it's from, who it's to, it's personal. And returning the tithe to God is more than just an obligation. It's a demonstration of obedience and faithfulness to God. But that's just the beginning of our journey. We then have the privilege to give above and beyond that tithe and witness how God multiplies our offerings. It's important to remember that we're only here because someone first gave, and ultimately because of how God first gave to us. Throughout this sermon series, we've seen a remarkable response from you all to this call of obedience. People have begun to tithe, and the testimonies of how God has shown up in their lives have been pouring in. I'm excited for those of you who have taken the step, but as a pastor, I can't help but think about those who haven't yet. If you're wrestling with the decision to tithe, if fear is holding you back, know that we want to help you. That's why we're offering Financial Peace University class beginning next Wednesday. The program not only teaches you how to budget effectively, but it also empowers you with financial planning help in order to be set up to give more and feel more stable and secure in the future. So go to the hub after church for more info and to sign up. By managing our finances wisely, we can experience greater freedom to bless others and witness continued blessings in our own lives. Before we pray, let me remind you of a few next steps. If you've made a decision to give your life to Jesus today, please fill out a connection card and let us know in the comment box. We also have prayer teams available for anyone making this decision or wanting prayer for anything today. Anything you write on your connection cards, you can drop in the giving boxes on your way out that are on the wall. Now, as we prepare to worship again, I want to remind you about ways to give. You can do it online or in those black giving boxes that are on the walls on your way out. Many of you have been incredibly generous so often and so many, and we're so grateful for your support. Your giving allows us to continue spreading God's message and serving our community. So let's give now with joyful hearts, knowing that God will use our offerings to multiply ministry and blessings in countless lives and souls. Let's stand up and worship together. Jesus, we are here today to worship you and to praise you, to give you gratitude and thanksgiving and praise for all that you've done in our lives. There's only so much we can give, but you've given it all. And so when it comes down to it,